General Meetings, Glendale, December 1978. Gospel by Paul Gibbon.
So we open our hymn sheets to number 15. Oh, blessed gospel sound.
Oh, blessed gospel sound. Yes,
the record in Luke's Gospel too. But in all of the Gospels toward the end, we have the record of the crucifixion. Our blessed Lord was crucified. Now he gave his life a ransom for many. California is not so different to Kentucky, exception may be favored in some respects, that we don't enjoy, but there's quite a celebration going on back there and here. Whatever value it might have, but we often neglect these vital things. The precious truth of the gospel concerning God's Son, who is the Savior of sinners. And we certainly need a sinner, need a Savior, because we are sinners. Now, there's this observation too, that out here, you're favored with many sorts of belief and even cults that arise. Men speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. And it happens at home too, in my native state, Kentucky. So just now, some of the people are distressed about a man that is taking the position of being one of the two witnesses in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. He claims to be one of those two witnesses. However sincere he may be, of course we know that he's badly mistaken, because his ministry ought to be heard in Jerusalem in the land of Judea. And the ministry that would be normal for him in that case is described in this way as you read it in that 11th chapter of Revelation. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. This tells us that he would be able to withhold blessing. As Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months, and it did not rain, God withheld the blessing that comes with the rain that descends to the thirsty earth. And then there's mention of the plagues that could be inflicted. This withholding of blessing is according to the prophet, and this infliction of plagues is on the character of the plagues that were pronounced upon Egypt when they would not let God's people go free. That's the character of that ministry that will take place in a future day. A ministry of judgment. Today we have a ministry of grace. God is anxious to bless you in your soul, to save you for eternal glory with Christ. He wants to do it. And he sends you all links in order to make it possible for you to be saved without effort. Just through simple faith in Christ. We know that repentance is necessary. For in repentance we have sin perceived, and sin abhorred, and sin forsaken. And the jailer was trembling when he came in and called for a light on that memorable occasion in that prison, as we have it recorded in the 16th of Acts. He was distressed about his loss of his prisoners, and no doubt he needed a light from heaven that he might find out what was needed in the way of the blessing of his soul. And then Paul could say to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now, if you've never repented of your sins, that's one of your needs here tonight. If you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, that's a need also. We're needy souls. A long time ago, in the year 1914, this blessed gospel sound was so attractive to me that as a little boy, there was confession of Jesus as Savior and Lord. And never once has that action been regretted. And the memory comes preciously to mind when Mother came to the bedside and inquired about what had taken place. It's a wonderful thing to know the precious Savior and the forgiveness of your sins. And that's the message that God has for you here tonight. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe shall be justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." The law brought in the ministry of condemnation. But the gospel brings in a ministry of life, a blessing in Christ. We see something of the character of the gospel, as we might trace it a little bit, beginning with the mention of a scripture that was heard in the prayer room, Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And reading a little further, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." God must punish sin. Judgment will certainly come. But he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Man brings condemnation upon himself because he refuses to believe. He rejects the remedy that God has provided for his salvation. And then, turning over to chapter 3 in the same book, and reading a verse down a little in number 10, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Is that a difficult statement for you to accept? It doesn't bother me. I know it's true. "The old Irish heathen, in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born into this world with a fallen nature, and I didn't have to practice to make perfect in the things that were wrong, and my mother never took me upon her knee and taught me how to tell a lie, because I naturally knew." And so do you. You can misrepresent things. And we certainly need that righteousness that God has provided, because we're not able to provide it ourselves. "For there is none righteous, no, not one." Now, going down to verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Oh, isn't that wonderful to think that God has provided a way for the blessing of your soul? "And the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them." There were those that were ready to call down fire from heaven at that moment because of some that were in opposition to the Lord, they thought. But he could tell them that the Son of Man had not come to condemn men or to destroy them, destroy their lives, but that they might be saved. Such is the character of the gospel that we have today. The gospel of the grace of God. God is gracious, and he can righteously save any sinner, whosoever that sinner may be, bad or good. Each one alike needs the precious cleansing power of the blood of Christ. "For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now we'll notice something a little more in this passage. Coming back to it, for the moment, may we notice again a statement that came to our attention this afternoon in John's Gospel, chapter 16. We read there, toward the end of the chapter, where a quotation is given from the Old Testament, that they hated me without a cause. In the end of verse 25. They hated me without a cause. There was no reason in the world for the rejection of that blessed Holy Son of God. He was man's friend. He'd come with a ministry of grace. He came to bless souls, to deliver them from the power of darkness, to bring them into those precious things that lead us beyond this present scene of sin and its chaos and confusion. They hated him, they hated me without a cause. Now turning back to, or over to Romans chapter 3 again. They hated me without a cause. Notice in verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And not to leave out verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Note that statement, being justified freely by his grace. And that is the same expression that we have in John 16, they hated me without a cause. And there's no reason in the world that we can find within ourselves why we deserve such favor from God. Or it's without a cause, except he wants to bestow his love. And a brother was praying earnestly in the prayer room, mentioning the love of God and his desire to bless souls and to bring them into the fullness of that hope that the believer has through faith in Christ. Now, this is the source of our justification. God is the source of the gospel. It didn't start in some capital of these lands that cover the globe. No, it originated with God. He has the gospel for man. And it's to God that we're responsible as sinners, for we've sinned and come short of his glory. But God is the source of this justification, as we see here in this verse, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then in Romans 5, we have something more about justification, and we'll notice there in verse 9, perhaps it is, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Well, how does this come about when we've had justification by grace? Do we need justification by blood? Of course, this is the basis of the blessing that we can have through faith in Christ. Grace is the source, and the precious blood is the foundation for the blessing of every soul that's present here tonight. Oh, it's wonderful to think of the precious blood of Christ, and you know, to him we read here, give all the prophets witness, perhaps that's a quotation from Acts 10, but noticing here, in verse 21 of the third chapter, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. All that ever came before was pointing on to that blessed Savior who would come. And this Old Testament is so filled with types and shadows and offerings of every sort, and they're never able to fully portray that blessed one in all of the effectiveness of his work when he laid down his life on Calvary's cross. They could never be the very image of those precious things that we have in the substance and person of our blessed Lord, who was here to meet man's need. And we find him doing so. And we'll notice now an instance of this. Turn to Luke's Gospel toward the close, if you will, please. And we have his exercise in that Gospel too, in chapter 12. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? Luke's Gospel, the end of chapter 8, it seems, or maybe chapter 7, if you will, pardon me. Excuse me, I've got John. I'm not turning my fingers fast enough here. And here we are reading about the case of a poor woman, a simple woman. And he said unto her, verse 48, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master," and so on. So we see here something of the wonders of his grace. And then we read in the end of the 7th chapter, as he speaks to this woman that was referred to, verse 47, "I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Oh, there's a danger in not appreciating the need of God's grace to you, a sinner. That's the danger of everyone today. We think that the gospel belongs to the other man in the other seat, or to that individual across the room. You can think of it as being very suitable for those that are your neighbors, your friends perhaps, your schoolmates, or whoever it might be. But you need the gospel yourself. You need Christ, and he's the only remedy for that sin-sick soul of yours. And you need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Now, we can notice something else, too, here in Romans, chapter 5. And we're referring to these verses in order to draw your attention to find for ourselves the character of the gospel message that God has for us in this day. In verse 21 of chapter 5, "That is, sin hath reigned unto death, and sin and death have had a long, long reign." These two things have been present ever since the history of man began. But God has intervened, and we can read on in the verse that even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the character of the day in which we're living. What is taking place now? Grace is reigning through righteousness. God has a righteousness that has been accomplished at the cross through the sacrifice of our blessed Lord and Savior, and he can justify the sinner. He can freely pardon. He can forgive, and it's his delight to do so, being justified freely by his grace. Oh, it's without a cause. There was nothing in us to love, but he loved us just the same and has provided this wonderful Savior that we read about in this verse. "That if sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." In the coming day, as we referred to that chapter in Revelation, there will be a message of judgment. But now it's a message of grace, and God is willing and ready to pardon, and the door is open wide. And the invitation tonight to you is to come right inside, to come. For the Lord said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Oh, we thank God for the fullness of the blessing that comes to the sinner that trusts in the Savior. That wonderful blessing of entering into the door and being absolutely secure and safe for all eternity. And then going in and out to find pasture, the sustenance that we need. And, oh, may we be given to this serious consideration of the need of our souls. Because you're on a journey, you'll not stay here forever. Our days will soon run their course. We find ourselves, you know, in the 70s, some in the 80s, some in the 60s. And perhaps you're young and you might not have the calendar time to live out your days, the normal days that man expects here in this scene of 70. Because we know that Jesus has promised, our Lord Jesus has promised that he would return. And that we find in John 14, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But how can he receive you if you have your sins upon you? He's speaking of those that have believed in him. We certainly cannot enter there. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Nothing like that can enter and spoil what lies ahead in the way of blessing. We know the story of the entry of sin into this world by one man. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men. So we have this future that lies before us. There is the article of death. It might come to us if we're here long enough. But still, there's that possibility that you might never be old as I am, because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So it's well to be prepared and to be ready and to know the salvation that is offered you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God provides it freely and fully. It's without price. It's without cost. The cost was his, and he underwrote all the cost of redemption's work through the sacrifice of himself as he was lifted up on that cross. And oh, what a story this is of the wonders of God's grace to man here below, and how he has provided fully for his blessing. And we read here that this woman was to go in peace. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. Verse 48 of Luke 7. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, despite the objection that was raised on the part of those that were religious and didn't feel the need of having their sins forgiven, and that's the danger of some of us here tonight. We're so well reared and brought up in the culture that we have received the knowledge of the truth in an outward way, and we know the Bible verses, and perhaps we quote so many of them, and yet we might know the God of John 3:16, nor the Savior of John 5:24, nor the Dare of John 10:9. But we need that Savior, that precious Savior, who is willing to go to that cross. I have a baptism to be baptized with, he said. That's not water, it's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't need that. But he did identify himself with the accident of the earth when he submitted to John's baptism, and he asked John to perform that service. And he went down into the waters of Jordan, and God opened heaven and expressed his delight in that blessed one. And that's the first time that God could fully express his delight in one down here on the earth. Just think of it, what man has done in the rejection of Christ. The only holy, blessed man that has ever tread this scene of ours was rejected, and there's no reason in the world for it. They hated me without a cause. That simply tells us the condition of our hearts and how dark we are, and that we need a Savior. And if we don't have a Savior, we will be exposed to the coming judgments that will envelop this present civilization of ours. It's not a welcome thought, but God is faithful to his word. And although his judgments compose his strange work, it will necessarily be true that he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he's given assurance unto all men, and that he's raised him from the dead. They thought, you know, oh, this is all of it. He's dead. We've seen the tomb, and he'll never come out. But he did. He burst the bonds of death. It was not possible that he should be holden of it. So that we know that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen. And last of all, he was seen of Paul, And he's the one that mentions the gospel of the grace of God and the gospel of the glory of God. Oh, we don't realize just how wonderful it is to be living in a time like this. You know, it's a privilege tonight to sit under the pure, simple ministry of the precious Word of God. And there's nothing else that we have to offer. What else could be brought to your attention except this message of God's grace to you, a sinner, and that He wants to save you, that He's provided a soul, the basis of your blessing, and He's the source of it too, being justified freely by His grace or without a cause, and being justified by His blood. And then finally, the way it works, you know, is in Romans 5 and verse 1, as we read there for a moment. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Now, here's three different verses that speak of justification by faith. Pardon me for moving this desk and distracting your attention, but I want you to get this message simply and straightly from the precious Word of God. And here's the way the blessing comes to you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the principle of blessing in this present day of grace. In the Old Testament times, there was a promise of continuance of life on the earth if they were obedient and would keep the law. Of course, God's grace wrought nevertheless, and there were souls that were born again. But we've never had the blessing that is so rich and full as we have it today, and we can refer to the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we can tell about the riches of His grace when it's a question of the forgiveness of our sins. God wants to bless us. He's proven that in the gift of His Son. And then we can tell, too, about the riches of His glory, of His purposes concerning His people, and how that He wants a family that belongs to Him, and how He wants a bride for His Son, and how He has marked out heaven as the destiny of the people of this day of grace. And of course we know that the Old Testament saints are waiting for the same blessing, but there's a special thing about this particular period of time. From the time that the gospel began on the day of Pentecost with all the attendant blessings, and until the moment of our Lord's call, when we shall be raptured away to be with Himself. There's nothing like this before in the history of man. And there shall be nothing like this afterwards either, because this is the most wonderful period of God's grace and goodness to man. There'll be blessing on the earth as He's promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. But our blessings are heavenly in order. And oh, you just think of the possibility, and you'll die in your sins if you don't believe, if you reject that blessed Savior. And you'll have to be taken hence and cast out into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There'll be the removal from this present offer of blessing, and you'll be taken into outer darkness, where there's weeping. Weeping is regret over what has happened, and the gnashing of teeth will be yours as you contemplate that endless misery. Some question, you know, the rich man dying and lifting up his eyes in hell, being in torments. They say that cannot be literal. Oh, that could not be so. A God is not a God of love that would consign man to such a destiny as that. And there's a young man that works in a dark room in a hospital up in Indiana. And And he's been without eyesight, you know. He grew up without eyesight because of too much oxygen in the incubator when he was an immature baby, premature. And he doesn't see just the book of things. And someone complained about to him about God not being a love, not a loving man when he allows such misery to take place. But he witnesses all around in the work that he has to do. He hears about it. But he could speak right back to that man and tell him, God loved me. And he provided a Savior for my sins. And I rejoice in the knowledge of my sins forgiven. And I know whom I believe it, and I'm able to, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Oh, that was his answer to those that would cavil at the blessing of the believer and would question God's goodness to man. Oh, he's provided a Savior, and that wonderful one is able to save to the uttermost. Those that come unto God by him, God undertakes for the believer, and if God be for us, who can be against us? So tonight, perhaps you've come in from the neighborhood, and this is a few times that I've been here, and you're welcome here, and we want you to hear the gladness of this message, this blessed gospel sound, that there's blessing for your soul. You can know that your sins are forgiven, that you're a child of God, and that you're on your way to heaven, and that you'll never be exposed to any judgment whatsoever, because Christ has borne our judgment in his own body on the tree. He's borne our sins, and his work is so perfect that God can never bring into question any thought of questioning that blessed work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we'll read, we've noticed something about this woman in the end of the 7th of Luke. We'll turn to Acts 10 at this time and read there the introduction, read about the introduction of the gospel to Caesarea. So there lived in Caesarea a man, Cornelius by name, a Gentile, and evidently he's what you would classify as a good man because he was devout. He feared God, and this with all his house, and he gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. So you would say, well, what does he need? Well, he needed to hear words of salvation whereby he would be saved. Chapter 11 and verse 14. They were to send for Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And Peter is hesitant about this message. He doesn't want to go to the Gentiles with the message of God's grace. And the message of God's grace could not be limited anymore. Under the law, he could be a respecter of persons and choose a special people for his attention. But once Calvary was passed, there was blessing for all men everywhere. And that's the breadth and the scope of the gospel. The character of it is grace and glory and deliverance from judgment and a righteousness provided that we were not able to provide ourselves. God has fully made known his love to us, and he has given his Son to be the Savior of the world, the Savior of sinners, and the responsibility that lies upon you is to accept that Savior. But there's the danger of neglecting so great salvation. There was a man, you know, that didn't like the message that the Lord sent to him, and he took out his penknife, and he chopped up the paper and put it on the hearth where the fire was burning. And that's the way he treated God's word. Others can treat with indifference, and some can say it's not true. And others can say, well, there's time later on, not now. And so they put off this great responsibility of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We need repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to appreciate God's grace and to thank Him for providing a Savior that meets all my need as a sinner for time and for eternity. And now we read here that he's arrived at this place, and toward the end of the chapter, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then the fellowship follows in the days that they asked him to stay. So the message is the message of the forgiveness of sin. And something very special happened here at this time when the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. And this was so unusual that the six that came along with Peter were astonished at it. They were shocked that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's the reason that we're here tonight. The gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out in the beginning on God's people. And that blessed one gives the power of testimony in the gospel. And certainly this man wouldn't be here standing at this platform speaking to you without the direction of the Lord and the energy of the Spirit of God. So you need to take heed to these things that you hear. And this was done, you know. God broke the barriers of language. He was so anxious that the blessing of the gospel would come to all men everywhere. In the second of Acts, it happened. And these men were there without authority from the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. Paul had papers in his pocket when he was on the road to Damascus to arrest those that believed in Jesus. He was fully equipped with authority that he thought was God-given. So it's well here that this happened to substantiate, support these servants of the Lord. Peter sent over here at this time, and this takes place, and it's an indication of God's commendation of his servant and the announcement of the glad tidings that he brought to them. Now we know that the gospel has come out fully and freely, and that the word of God has been completed, and that the sign gifts have ceased. But still we have the message of the gospel, the message of the forgiveness of our sins, and we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Oh, you need tonight to know that Savior, to accept him in simple faith. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the avenue of blessing. It's through Christ. It's through his work. It's through what he's done to the glory of God and for the blessing of your soul, a sinner. That's how the blessing came to me. And it's my joy to tell you about it tonight. Oh, it's so good to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And here we find that these came into the blessing of the gospel. And so we have the message that has been given to us, the grace of God, that carries along with it salvation for all men has appeared. The verse in Titus was a little literal rendering. The grace of God that carries along with it salvation for all men has appeared. So you cannot excuse yourself tonight. And Peter opened his mouth widely here and said, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, if you don't believe, you won't have the remission of your sins. And have you confessed that Savior, or are you ashamed to own him as your very own? You'll never have something that's offered unless you receive it. If I offered this Bible to these gentlemen in the first row here, it would still be mine, or rejected, and they wouldn't have it. And that's your danger of rejecting and neglecting so great a salvation. But if you believe, as we have here, whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive. And if that's on the hymn sheet, we can sing it together. If some brother will call our attention to it. Substitute number 16, since we haven't found it. 37, will you start it, please?
No.